This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 49th chapter, 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb. He named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel may be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." Hear the word of the Lord in this reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from John, the first chapter, 29 through 42. John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Here, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Hear the word of the Lord in this reading. Oh boy, take a firm hold on the reins, get your feet in the stirrups, get a good seat on your horse, because this Sunday I'm going to take you on a wild and at times bumpy and uncomfortable ride. Hang on tight. Dylan Storm Roof, 22 years old, is an American mass murderer and white supremacist convicted of perpetrating the June 17, 2015 Charleston church shooting. During a prayer service at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, Roof killed 9 African Americans, including senior pastor and state senator Clementa Pinckney, and injured 1 other person. He later confessed that he committed the shooting in hopes of igniting a race war. In December 2016, Roof was convicted in federal court of all 33 federal hate crime charges against him stemming from the shooting. He was sentenced to death for those crimes the following month. How in the name of all we hold sacred are we to react at such an evil act by someone so young? He's 22. I have a belt older than that. How came he to such a place? My first thought is he's just pure evil, pure unadulterated evil, and every bad thing that happens to him I'm pretty much okay with. That's my sin speaking, church. That's my sin. For Jesus never taught anything like that. Dylan Roof killed 9 people at their prayers out of hatred for them. If the best I can do is to turn Dylan Roof's hatred back on him, can I claim to be a follower of the one who taught us to love? Such a tit-for-tat outcome revolts me. We just have to find the teachings of Jesus in our reactions to this man's actions, and if we are unable to do so, we must confess our sin and beg forgiveness. Told you it was going to be a bumpy ride. There's a famous story told in Hasidic literature that touches on this very question. I'd like to read it to you. The master teaches his student that God created everything in the world to be appreciated, since everything here is to teach us a lesson. One clever student asked, "What lesson can we learn from atheists? Why did God create them?" The master responded, "God created atheists to teach us the most important lesson of them all, the lesson of true compassion. You see, when an atheist performs an act of charity, visits someone who is sick, helps someone in need, and cares for the world, he's not doing so because of some religious belief. He does not believe that God commanded him to perform these acts. In fact, he doesn't believe in God at all. So his acts are based on an inner sense of morality. And look at the kindness he can bestow upon others simply because it feels to be right." This means, the master continued, that when someone reaches out to you for help, you should never say, "I'll pray for you that God will help you." Instead, for the moment, you should become an atheist, imagine that there is no God who can help, and say, "I will help you." Somehow we're supposed to find the teachings of Jesus in this horrible chain of events, since everything here is to teach us a lesson. How are we supposed to do that? Let's be clear about one thing right up front. Dylan Roof is responsible for his actions and must bear the consequences of them. That's not what we are talking about. What we are talking about and asking is, how came he to such a place, and what lesson can we draw from him? We, all of us, like to think we are masters of our own fate, and we understand why we do the things we do, but it is not so. We don't know that. When one of his opponents proudly maintained that he was captain of his own ship, Clarence Darrow responded, "Captain of his own ship? He's not a deckhand on a life raft." How do we explain Dylan Roof? Is he master of his hatred or its servant? As a young man, I was powerfully drawn to the writings of German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. This is from Also Sprach Zarathustra. He writes, "If I wished to shake this tree with my hands, I should not be able to do so. But the wind, which we see not, troubleth and bendeth as it listeth. We are sorest bent and troubled by invisible hands." That image that each of us is moved by unseen hands has stuck with me through the decades. We are all sorest bent and troubled by invisible hands. Dylann Roof is no less responsible for his actions, but can we not examine the invisible hands which manipulated him and draw a lesson from them? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and described himself in these terms. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. The verb called implies both command and submission. Given what happened to Paul during his life, it implies a powerful command and a powerful submission. He is called, he is commanded, he is moved, bent, and vexed by an unseen hand to do powerful things. Isaiah offered the same understanding. "The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me." We are called, Paul says, and Isaiah adds, before we're even born, to God's purposes. Both Paul and Isaiah are speaking of God's sovereignty over his creation. They are telling us that God's role in our lives is a great deal more than that of an interested bystander or scorekeeper. God is involved and calls us to be similarly involved. Here is what I believe. Even when faced with evil people and hateful attitudes, such as that which we saw in his trial this week, it is our task to recognize that God has his purposes. Just because I can't see those purposes doesn't mean that there are none. Bumpy or not, there's deep wisdom here. When our gospel account tells us John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." When we hear John say that, we have no difficulty in nodding and acknowledging John's foresight. This is Jesus. We know who Jesus is. So should John. It's much more difficult to nod and acknowledge that each of us is called to a purpose, even awful damaged people like Dylann Roof. That takes faith that defeats most of us. Holy moly! Did the preacher just say that God creates evil people to do evil things? No, he didn't. The preacher did not say that. What the preacher said is that we are all moved by unseen hands, and not all of those hands lead to good. Some lead to terrible things, like the killing of 9 people at their prayers. When we see these things, we are on notice to scour our own hearts for those sins and turn ourselves over to the hands of God for direction. We cannot cling to the idea that there are good guys and bad guys, and we're the former. Remember the passage in Nietzsche's book, "If I wish to shake this tree with my hands, I should not be able to do so, but the wind, which we see not, troubleth and bendeth it as it listeth. We are sorest bent and troubled by invisible hands." That conversation in the book concluded in this way: "The more man seeketh to rise into the height and light, the more vigorously do his roots struggle earthward, downward, into the dark and deep, into the evil." We are sinners all. Our roots struggle downward into the dark. But that's our challenge, not our verdict. We are called, just as was Paul, just as was Isaiah, to bring the light into creation, not to join in partnership with the dark. The jury has decided that Dylann Roof must die, as if by that action the 9 who died could be made to live again. That is the myth of redemptive violence. Violence is a way of proving that one exists when one feels oneself to be insignificant. It is our sin. The righteousness we feel collectively in deciding that we own death is the same evil which consumed Dylan Roof at the very door of God's church. Much better that we had given him a life sentence with no parole so that we could, for his entire life, scour our souls for the traces of his evil. A public death will just confirm us in our arrogance. Jesus taught us no such thing. If we claim to be a follower of Jesus, we must steel ourselves to abandon the dark and turn to the light. Amen. One day this past week, as I am wont very frequently to do, I got lunch at the VP Grillers in Flatwoods. The server asked if I wanted more soda pop, and I told her no, that I had to get back to church. Well, there was a lady of a certain age at the next table, and she piped up at that point and said, "That's the best place to be." I disagree. I think what she was celebrating is that in church the most vexing issues that we engage are what hymns to sing and how many verses. We don't have to think about Dylan Roof or the challenges of life in God's creation. Church is a hospital bed where we heal our souls. But it's not the best place to be. Tomorrow we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King. And we remember the actions of Dr. King and John Lewis and the others in Selma, on the bridge, on Bloody Sunday, as they took their faith from the church into God's creation and made of it a living thing. That's the best place to be. The world where we were placed to do God's purposes, that's the best place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's church said,
Amen.